is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Linda Kenyon. Trucks carrying humanitarian aid have started arriving in Gaza. The trucks have been arriving through the Rafah border crossing in Egypt. CBS's Chris Livesay is monitoring from Cairo.
Egypt is asserting itself as one of the major power brokers in the region, and it certainly has a lot of leverage as the only neighbor of the Gaza Strip outside of Israel and controlling anything that goes in or out of that crucial border crossing at the Rafah gate.
An American mother and daughter taken hostage by Hamas have been released. CBS's Bradley Blackburn reports.
In Illinois, where the Renans live, family and friends celebrated the news and expressed profound relief.
I'm going to hug her and kiss her, and it's going to be the best day of my life.
After the release, President Biden spoke to the Renans by phone, saying they have the full support of the U.S. government. In Israel, the military is still poised to launch a ground invasion into Gaza, but the timing remains unclear.
The two were visiting a kibbutz in Israel when Hamas invaded on October 7th. Several Americans remain missing and may be among the remaining hostages. House Republicans have pulled the nomination of conservative Representative Jim Jordan after he failed to get enough votes to become Speaker of the House. He continued to lose votes in the three ballots. Virginia Representative Jen Kiggins was one of several members of the GOP who reported getting death threats when they refused to support Jordan.
A large part of what we did today was to express our concern with the threats that so many of us have received from within our own party. That's the part that's most disheartening. You know, we share the same conservative values and principles. So to get those threats and to be intimidated by members of our own party are really frustrating, especially for people like me.
House Republicans are working this weekend to name a new nominee for Speaker. Another guilty plea in the Georgia election interference case.
A guilty plea by lawyer Kenneth Chesbrough is the second in 2 days by a Donald Trump co-defendant.
Chesbrough pleaded guilty to a felony involving the falsification of documents, which goes directly to the fake elector scheme, a key component to the case against the other defendants, including President Trump.
Legal analyst Dane Rosenbaum. Meantime, in New York, Trump is fined $5,000 for a social media post about a key court staffer in his civil fraud trial. That was still on his campaign website after the judge ordered it deleted. Tom Foti, CBS News, Washington.
UAW President Sean Fain updating union members yesterday about how the strike against automakers is going.
We've seen serious movement from both Stellantis and GM. Meanwhile, Ford continues to stew about KTP and pretend they can't afford what we're asking for.
This is CBS News.
You need to hire? Indeed is with you every step of the way, helping you attract, interview, and hire candidates all from one place. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. The federal government just announced plans to build so-called hydrogen hubs, and Wisconsin is part of two of them. But environmentalists are concerned developers might increase carbon emissions. Suzanne Potter explains.
The feds just announced $7 billion in funding to produce hydrogen, which is used in hard-to-decarbonize sectors like aviation fuel, steel and glass production, power generation, refining, and heavy-duty transportation. However, as Patrick Drupp with the Sierra Club warns, the devil is in the details.
And if it's done correctly, maybe we can create some truly clean hydrogen to decarbonize. And if it's done wrong, we have a chance to actually further fuel the climate crisis.
Wisconsin will be involved with the Heartland Hydrogen Hub and the Midwestern Hydrogen Hub. Conservation groups are pressing for so-called green hydrogen, meaning hydrogen produced by electrolysis of water molecules, using renewable power built especially for the hub. They don't want plants to rely on existing renewable power, because once it is used, utilities could turn to other sources, such as coal and natural gas, to backfill demand. Some groups say so-called blue hydrogen is more acceptable because, although it uses methane, a potent greenhouse gas, it captures any carbon emissions and sequesters them. Drupp says the Sierra Club opposes blue hydrogen.
It still carries all of the same problems of using methane. It carries the same problems of fracking, potential methane leaks as you distribute the gas around the country.
Next, the Treasury Department needs to issue its guidance on the hydrogen tax credit that was created in the Inflation Reduction Act. That guidance will greatly influence how green hydrogen is produced and how the accounting for total emissions from hydrogen production is done. For Wisconsin News Connection, I'm Suzanne Potter.
You're listening to Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell.
As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
I always like to go back to what Tom Cruise said. Just take a walk.
That's where you get your advice.
Well, don't you remember that long time ago, Brooke Shields talked about postpartum depression going on medication? He's like, you should just go for a walk around the block.
That's so like a man.
More great words from men.
There's a segment right there, Greg Buck.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Brock. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Thank you for listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Now join us anytime by finding and following our Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram pages. You'll also find social media links for your favorite shows and hosts on our website, civicmedia.us. This is the Empowered Caregiver Show. If you are a caregiver or know someone who is, this show is meant to uplift you through education and support, while also lifting up every caregiver's invaluable role in society. Now, here is the Empowered Caregiver and your host, Liza Helen Brand.
You are listening to the Empowered Caregiver Show, and I am your host, Liza Helen Brand. Today, I'm talking about something that deserves a lot more attention than it gets. Today, I will discuss the disparities in outcomes of the Black and African American caregivers. And according to a study found in the National Institute of Health, relative to white caregivers, Blacks more often work 40 hours or more per week caring for their loved one, 54% versus 39% of white caregivers, and often care for an older adult with dementia who is living below the federal poverty line, 32% within the African-American community versus 12% in the white community. Or they are also caring for somebody that is Medicaid eligible at 42% versus 12%. African American caregivers are more often in high intensity care situations than others and are typically the only unpaid caregiver helping their recipient and providing care in mostly isolation. You know, given that Black family caregivers, who are primarily women, are really the backbone of not only family caregiving, but also in the paid caregiver role. For this reason, I want to ask two of the most badass community leaders I know to join me today to talk about caregiving in the Black and African American communities and what needs to be done to improve outcomes. Joining me today are Brandy Grayson, founder of Urban Triage, and Dr. Nakia Wiley, who has shaken things up in the worlds of education, inclusion, disability, and mental health awareness. She works in education and is on the board of Disability Pride Madison. Before we get started, ladies, can you tell me a little bit more about you, the community service work that you do, and what you're most proud of? And I'm going to start with Brandy.
Okay. Well, thank you for inviting me on. I'm super excited and super humbled to be here. I guess a little bit about the work that, you know, I do as an individual is I provide treatment foster care for children with high emotional behavior challenges. I also provide transformative education for parents and folks who work in institutions with youth and provide programming for youth rooted in trauma recovery, trauma-informed care, and really helping people develop a different script and story of how they see themselves, their culture, their history, and their future. And we also provide wraparound services, direct services, and we provide agriculture education. So we have a farm, and then we teach people how to farm. So our caregiving support is really based in looking at our scripts, rooting the things in maladaptive behaviors that keep us from being successful in our own right. You know, so that's what we do.
Wonderful. I love to watch Urban Triage and Facebook and just the things that you're doing and how involved you are in the community. I thank you for your work. And on that note, what are you most proud of?
Oh, yeah. What am I most proud of? I am most proud of the aha moments, the seeds that flourish later. You know, because sometimes as caregivers and folks that respond to crises and other issues in our communities, we don't get to see the seed blossoming. And when folks come to me years later, a month later, 6 months later and say, remember that time when this thing happened and we did this, or you supported us in that way, or you provided this access or access point or opportunity or resource. And because of that, I am this. Or my life changed, that is what I'm most proud of, is the individual healing and progress of our families and our parents.
That has to be very rewarding.
Yeah.
I can't imagine. What about you, Nakia? Tell me a little bit more about the community service that you do, and what you are most proud of.
Well, first of all, thank you, Miss Liza, for allowing me to be back on community service. Let me start with, I am the president of Disability Pride Madison. Very proud about that. Woo, woo. Yes, we need volunteers and, you know, and donors. A shameless plug. I'm okay with that.
That's all right.
I also serve as, I was just elected as the vice chair for the Disability Justice Commission right here in Madison. So super excited about that. Partnering, you know, with our politicians. I like to rub elbows with them and throw my hat in the ring to let them know that I am most proud of fighting for the disabled community. I am most proud of that. And I am most proud of fighting the good fight to end anti-racist practices. And not only anti-racist practices, but anti-oppressive practices in the community that I live and serve in various capacities.
Nakia, you just don't stop. You need your own little Energizer Bunny commercial. Thank you for the work and the service that you do. And, you know, I like to ask all of the guests if they've had personal experience with caregiving. So I'll just toss this one back in Brandy's lap.
Okay. Have I had experience with personal caregiving in the sense of?
Yeah. Well, I would definitely say all the work that you do in foster care. Mm-hmm. Definitely. I like to define a caregiver as someone that is really taking care of either a senior or somebody with a disability. Yeah. A lot of organizations include grandparents that are taking care of grandkids.
Yeah.
It's just the matter of having that support. To me, people, you know, they talk about parents. Well,
yeah.
I'm a parent.
Yeah.
Parents are a form of caregiving. But to me, that's different in the sense you see your child grow and progress and become more independent.
Right.
In the caregiving role, it's typically the opposite,
yeah.
You know, and they're going to need you forever.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the best example of that is the work that I do in treatment foster care. You know, I take care of children with disabilities, and some of it's IQ, intellectual disabilities. Mm-hmm. So some of our kids aren't able to transition on their own at the age of 18. A lot of the kids I take care of transition at 21 or 22, and that's only because the system won't allow them to stay any longer,
right?
Even though that they are not ready to be independent. Working with children in the foster care system can often be heartbreaking because you have limited rights and you have limited abilities, right? It's like what the social worker says, what everyone else says. Even as foster parents, we often think that we should have the greater say, especially when we take care of children day in and day out.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of times we do not. And I think that's my best example of providing caregiving services or supports to folks who will need it forever, you know?
You're right.
And I think another example is the work that we do at Urban Triage with our wraparound supports. We deal with a lot of folks in our homeless community who are chronic homeless, you know, because of disabilities, because whether it's physically, mentally, emotionally, or they have psych breaks because they're veterans, or, you know, they were awarded to the state and have been orphaned all their life and don't have families or supports. And along with that is ALDA issues and other challenges that are associated with being alone in the world.
Right.
And I think sometimes we think as community members and servers of the people that if we provide people with A, B, and C, then that should equal four, right? Like they should equal success. They'll be fine. Right. But that's not how it works for a lot of folks. And I really am looking to bring like more understanding and compassion to that aspect of our community that may never be able to stand on their two feet. And that's where the advocacy comes from.
Yeah. So you're caring for everyone. You got the whole town under you, just making sure.
Well, don't say that because people be confused at that offer.
You make sure everyone's taken care of. And Nakia, I know that you have had your hands full in that caregiving role as well.
Specialist.
Can you,
I know they
tell me a little bit about your personal caregiving experience?
So we have to make sure that
absolutely. In my family,
on all three facets.
My husband and my son, my granddaughter, they all identify as black. Humans who have disabilities. And they don't mind me saying that our care team, my husband and my son, my husband, 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 my husband
goes to Edgewood College, that is a huge fan of Miss Nakia Wiley. So, yes.
And then Giovanni
Weeks. And Liza, I'm actually here with some alumni right here. As you can see me from here. I'm here. Baby, you know I don't play. I have alumni here with me right now experiencing this because they got news.
There's number 83, right? One of the receivers is a talented player as well.
They've got aggressive
players, and they got talent.
Because it matters most. It hits home.
We like to focus
disability,
a lot on what
mental health, invisible and invisible disabilities, and the social injustices. And I don't play when it comes to my child.
So for me,
I started out as an educator.
And they run pretty much a similar offense as you do
in Illinois, in Chicago.
I learned how
to nurture and develop all humans, regardless of their abilities or disabilities. So for me, it runs deep. This is what I do.
Makes more mistakes. And we've been practicing and focusing on being mentally sound in all aspects of the game. Hopefully we can go out there and play a clean game and come out with a victory.
Sounds great. Hey, when we come back from the break, you only have about another minute here. We're going to talk about some of the big plays and the big standouts in addition to Nick Montes in the victory over Elmhurst and what we can expect from a lot of those same players when they do battle against number 13. So lots to unpack here, including some more local news. Our fire chief has got a very prestigious honor, so we'll talk about that after the break. And our police chief will be our guest on November 18th, Anya, so get ready. So plenty more to talk about when this week in Waukesha continues. Don't go away with our very special guest, Coach Mike Budiszewski of Carroll University.
Hi, I'm Emily from Weichert Realtors Lake Point in Madison. Your home, your property, your decision. At Weichert Realtors Lake Point, we'll guide you every step of the way, whether you're buying or selling a home or exploring commercial property. Your dream is within reach. You'll find our realtors love what they do, and more importantly, we think it's fun helping our clients achieve their goals. Who wouldn't want to do that every day? Give me a call at 608-721-8002. Weichert Realtors Lake Point, 2045 Atwood Avenue. Find more info at weichert-lakepoint.com.
Saturdays and Sundays at 1, don't miss Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, featuring legendary Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Football, life, and fun.
Earl, you've been driving a Uber.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw.
Cloudy skies today with a chance for scattered rain showers. High temperatures reach up to 57. Winds out of the east, 5 to 10 miles an hour. Slight chance for scattered rain showers again tonight. Lows level off around 34. Mainly clear skies. Mainly sunny skies and calm again tomorrow. High temperatures reach up to 53. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 43 degrees.
Whether you're heading down Les Paul Parkway or fighting traffic on the interstates, this is The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
When you're weary, feeling small.
Hey, welcome back. This is Walk the Shaw. Yes, that was Elvis the King doing Bridge Over Troubled Water, the Simon and Garfunkel classic. And I ran into it on YouTube today and thought, you know, we got to throw a little Elvis in there, especially and a very appropriate song with everything that's going on in the world. And again, our hearts continue to go out to all those people, especially the children and families, the civilians affected by the war, terrorist attacks, whatever the official term is, going on in the Middle East. And, again, keep them in your thoughts. And then, you know, closer to home, and again, I have my guest with Coach Mike Budashevsky. We also had some sad news from this past weekend that Arrowhead football coach Tom Taraska, who built Arrowhead football into a powerhouse, died at the very young age of 71 after an auto accident, this past weekend. And again, our hearts go out to Arrowhead Nation. And we broadcast a Waukesha South game there a couple weeks ago, and it's the stadium again is called Taraska Stadium, and it really is a kind of looks like a racetrack the way the whole the big press box is set up. But it's a great venue and a great tradition there. And our hearts go out to them. And did you know Coach Taraska at all, Coach Buda, in any of your travels?
Yeah, he's an Oshkosh guy, and he actually, lived locally, so he would come out to some of our practices since we got here. And when Oshkosh came down to scrimmage us 2 years ago, he came on the field and talked with Coach Jennings and myself. And, I met him years and years and years ago at a coaching clinic and introduced myself.
Oh, that's great.
Was very pleased with the progress that our program has made. And he watched some games from up in the gazebo overlooking Schneider Stadium, and just a great human being, phenomenal coach, and even better person. And our condolences and heart and thoughts and prayers to the entire Arrowhead Nation and all of Wisconsin high school football fans, because he's a part of what this state has become as far as high school football.
Yeah, no doubt. So. And then I guess more positive news, when you think of Bridge Over Troubled Water, our very own Steve Howard, chief of Waukesha Fire Department, was honored as Wisconsin's 2023 First Responder of the Year. And it was, that took place at the state capitol on Tuesday. Chief Howard has served the city of Waukesha Fire Department for 35 years. As a firefighter, a lieutenant, fire inspector, deputy chief, assistant fire chief, and now fire chief. So throughout that time, he has led by personal example in ensuring high levels of fire service to the city of Waukesha. And again, I know you, the university's got a great relationship with our city. And from time to time, I think the fire department might have even participated in the homecoming parade. I don't know if that was the cities or the villages, but another fact about Steve Howard was his next door neighbor growing up was, now the name just slipped my mind, but he was one of the Tuskegee Airmen. In fact, the only one who came from Waukesha, and it kills me because I used to have this name memorized. It'll come back to me later in the show, but Steve said the whole time he was growing up, he had no idea. He was a nice guy with great kids, and never talked about his, like a lot of World War II vets, a lot of that greatest generation. But maybe that brush with greatness is what inspired Steve to go into service. But again, congratulations to Chief Howard and to the Waukesha Fire Department for that. So, and speaking of congratulations, Pios had a big win last Saturday, and boy, Josh Raby looked really sharp I mean, talk about efficiency, as you were saying, and completion percentage looked pretty high from what I can recall.
Yeah, he had a good game. They played a little bit different coverage. They tried to double team Austin Eichstead for most of the game. And you know, we're a big believer in take what the defense gives you. So if they try to take one person, another person's going to have a career day. And Josh Hill did that.
Josh Hill, too, was it three touchdowns he had?
Yeah. So. I mean, you know, Josh Raby threw six touchdowns. Fantastic outing for him. And he and I had the opportunity, and he got a 27-yard rush.
Right.
They squeezed an edge. He pulled it on zone read and took off to the boundary with nobody there. So it was a great game overall. I mean, anytime you score that many points, you're gonna have a good day somewhere.
Yeah,
along the line, but you know, defensively holding them, there are 4 yards rushing.
Yeah, what a great stat, no doubt. Yeah, like I said, every player was menacing on that defense all the way through. It was really great to watch. So, and good clean hits too. So that was a lot of fun. But yeah, Josh Hill, you know, he's been very reliable all season. And I remember before the game, you know, Greg in the box was telling me that he has yet to score his first touchdown. And like, no sooner he said that than he caught his first pass, and then two touchdowns later. Just, you know, what a great way to celebrate homecoming for the senior. I know his family and his teammates had to be thrilled.
Yeah, you know, this is his last go around. He's leaving everything out of the field every day in practice and games. You know, one thing you might not realize is that he never comes off the field on special teams. He's on all four special teams.
I saw that, yeah. Yep.
He flies down on kickoff. He's kickoff return. He's on our punt block unit. He's on our punt unit. I mean, he is just one of those guys that will do anything to help our team win. And I couldn't be prouder of the day that he had offensively. But also, you know, he caught a long touchdown pass, and he ran over so that he could go run down on the kickoff team. And that just goes to show you the culture that we've built here.
Right.
He's one of the guys that lives the culture.
Absolutely.
You know, in practice and in games. And I'm happy for him. And having a career day was a big deal for him.
Sounds great. When we come back on this week of workshop, more about the Pios' big win over Elmhurst and the big winning season they have and the big matchup they have today against number 13 Wheaton, as well as some more city news to unpack. So don't go away. This week in Waukesha will continue, and we will have the Carroll Minute because there's other sports being played and other things going on at our fine university here. So stick around.
Broadcasting to Waukesha at 101.1 FM. Broadcasting to Southeast Wisconsin at 540 AM. This is The Shaw, WAUK.
CBS News Special Report. Trucks carrying humanitarian aid have been entering the Gaza Strip through the Rafah border crossing in Egypt. CBS's Chris Livesay in Cairo says Egypt has been concerned that opening the Rafah gate could be the beginning of more than just the movement of humanitarian aid.
It might also lead to the depopulation of Gaza itself, the mass displacement of people coming over onto the Egyptian territory. Egypt is worried that that might not be temporary, that it might become permanent.
The BBC's Tom Bateman describes the situation for Palestinians now waiting at the Rafah gate.
Frustration and tensions among the many displaced people, you know, packed into school buildings, public places, desperately needing food and water. That's a very, very difficult situation. People are desperate.
He's monitoring developments from Jerusalem. CBS News Special Report. I'm Linda Kenyon.
With news on WAUK The Shaw, I'm Stuart J. Waddles. As the second anniversary of the Waukesha Christmas Parade attack approaches, city leaders are actively organizing the memorial to commemorate the event. On Tuesday, November 21st at 4:39 p.m., the city will hold a dedication ceremony for the Main Street Parade Memorial. The memorial will take place at the Five Points intersection in downtown Waukesha. Milwaukee County recently conducted a survey regarding the Mitchell Park domes, but it didn't provide any clear answers regarding the public's desires or their willingness to contribute financially. While the survey inquired about the visitors' last experiences at the domes and the significance of the structures, it did not address whether people support investing up to $70 million in constructing new domes. With news on WAUK The Shaw, I'm Stuart J. Waddles.
Why choose Weichert Realtors? Because your community is our community. We're your neighbors, your students, your chefs, your soldiers, your builders, your actors, your musicians, and your radio personalities. We love this city as much as you do, and that's why we want to help you live your best life here. Because we are your realtors. Call us today and let us help you find your next home. 608-821-7002 or visit Weichert-LakePoint.com. Weichert Realtors Lake Point, a home for all.
My name is Teresa Barber. I was in the United States Navy, and I served overseas in the Middle East and Africa. Early on in my career, I had a commander that taught our suicide prevention training, and the very next day, he took his own life. 90% of suicide attempts involving a gun are fatal. My way of continuing my service is to help protect my community by being a responsible gun owner and by storing firearms safely. Store all your guns securely. Help stop suicide.
Brought to you by End Family Fire and the Ad Council.
Time out.
All right. Remember, we're a team that plays together. Listen, the winning will take care of itself. We just have to get everyone involved.
In interscholastic sports, we celebrate what makes every one of us unique. And in the pursuit of a common goal, everyone in the huddle, in the bleachers, and in the community comes together. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
You are never far away from your favorite local radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app, and we invite you to get social with us by following our network's Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook pages. Want even more? CivicMedia.us.
This is Waukesha, and you're listening to Right Now from Van Halen, or as some would say, Van Hagar. And this was a song that always got me pumped up for football before a game. So hope it helps you, Coach Buddha, and the guys. Do you guys have is there a walkout song or a favorite song other than the fight song that you guys get all excited about?
Kids these days, man, they want to listen to their own stuff. We got music bumping in the locker room, and I hate it, but it's the kids pumped up. That's all
good.
I go into my space before the game, and I listen to my pump-up song and get ready to roll. We run out of that tunnel and to our fight song. I don't think there's anything
better. Yep. And I think I just goofed up the order for Anya here when she edits this. We're supposed to have the Carol fight song. We'll save that for the end. But we will have the Carroll Minute now because there are some other news in Carroll sports. Women's tennis, Carroll University beat Elmhurst 9-0. So the hit parade against Elmhurst continues for our Pios. And then men's soccer lost a close one to number 5 North Central, 2-1. And women's soccer lost to number 23 North Central, 2-0, and that I believe the women's game took place right after the homecoming football game, so there was lots more going on that homecoming weekend there. That was a lot of fun, so good stuff. So, but going back to Pioneer football, there was another record that was broken by the senior kicker, Jacob Laurent. Did I say that? Is it Laurent or Laurent?
Laurent,
yeah, from Kenosha. And that was really exciting. I mean, yeah, I think it, if I remember, he was carried off the field there. There was just definitely a lot of big hugs. And you have to be happy to have such a, you know, reliable kicker that's done well by the Pios most of the throughout the season.
Yeah, he's awesome. He's a great kid, great young man, and phenomenal player. You know, he's only kicked for 3 years. Actually borrowed him from the soccer team.
That's what I had heard, yeah.
And he's been our starting kicker ever since. And, well, 25 field goals, broke the previous record for career. He also tied the single-season record with 10. So he breaks the single-season record. And then 14 is the CCIW record for single-season.
Wow.
So we might have a chance at that in the next three games. You know, that the Nick Mantis tied the single-game sack record. Josh Raby tied the single-game touchdown record with 6. And then Jake broke the career field goal record at the end of the game. And, you know, that's something that when you've had a program as storied and historic as Carroll football, breaking records is something that our guys took a lot of pride in.
Yeah.
Because there have been many pioneers before them that have set the tone for what this program should be and should be about. So anytime we do that, we treat it pretty special. He kicked the field goal, and the ball boy caught the ball and took us into the sideline. And so I had to go to the officials, and I wanted Jake to have that ball.
That's great. So I saw that, yeah.
Yeah, they found it after he kicked off. They gave him the ball, and I told Jake straight up to buy him a nice little case for that, because that's something that he'll remember forever, and it's something he's going to tell his grandkids about someday, that he was a part of something really special and bigger than himself, but he had this individual accolade that – that will probably never be broken again, unless we get a phenomenal 3-4 year starting kicker. You know, but that's also 25 touchdowns we didn't score. So you know, from an offensive perspective, right. I want to score more points and score touchdowns. But
yeah,
it's awesome to know that when we get to a certain point on the field, it's almost automatic that we're going to get at least 3 points. And that's that's a huge advantage for us going into games, especially games when it's a tight game. You know, the outstanding game, you know, he kicked 4 field goals in a single game, which is also a record for him. So there's a lot of records that are dropping now because of the success we're having. And obviously the national attention with Nick getting on the D3.com player of the week, our team, the CCIW recognition that some of our players are getting. It's vindicating the work that we're putting in as a staff and as a program to get to where we need to be one of the top teams in the CCIW in the country.
Sure. Yeah, that's really, it really is. So, yeah. And now it's obviously a very important week because now you're facing again, one of the top dogs in the conference here. And what's the mood been like, or what's the atmosphere been like?
Our guys are focused. You know, I told them you got to win this game on Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday in practice.
Yeah.
They know that we need to go out and execute our game plan. I think we've got a great game plan, both offense, defense, and special teams. And our guys are excited. There might be a little nerves right now, but when we get there on Saturday, it's going to be one of focus and intensity to go out there and play the most physical game and cleanest game we've played all season.
Sure. So I know it's kind of a balancing act because you want them to be focused, but you also want them to be fairly loose and composed.
And our guys do a great job with that. We have such good leadership amongst the players that I don't think they let each other get distracted in the locker room, pregame, the whole works. We want them to be loose, but we also want them to go out there and have a fire lit underneath them from the first kickoff to the last play. So it's going to be something that, you know, it'll be a great, great environment. The energy is going to be phenomenal from our team and our fans and everybody else. And, you know, we got to pack the Schneid this weekend, 1 o'clock on Saturday. Get everybody
pack the Schneid. I like that.
Absolutely.
Did you coin that term?
I don't know, man.
I love it. Pack the Schneid. Can you write that down for me, Anya?
There you go.
So that's terrific. So, well, and that's, it sounds like you can count on a full house given the, around campus, do you feel that kind of, that, had that spirit in the air, that emotion. You could cut it with a knife because people know this is a big game, and Wheaton's coming here. And
you know, it's one of the things that social media, we do a great job with pumping up the games and some of that stuff. You know, it's fall break. You know, starting, we have Monday, Tuesday is our fall break. So it'll be interesting to see students out if a lot of kids go home for the fall break, but we've got such a great parent group. We've got a lot of people coming in for the game.
Yeah.
Alumni have been reaching out to me, seeing they're coming to the game, and it's going to be a great atmosphere. There could be zero people in the stands, and our team is going to be just as pumped for that.
Sure. Sure. Yeah. You know, the love of the game, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. And it's the love for each other, man. We talk about family all the time, and I couldn't be more proud of our players and how they play for each other and the love that they have for this family. It's humbling as a head coach to see everything that we put into work just happen organically. Now it's great.
Sure. So, and I believe you mentioned one of your goals was to make the playoffs this year. Last year you missed by one game, or like, I think it was the last play of the season. What needs to happen this year for you guys to get to that, to move the needle, as you say?
Yeah, and playoffs is tough. You know, with Pool C bins, North Central's gonna run away with the AQ and the CCIW. Pool C, there's only four of them left this year. So it's gonna be tough when you look at the playoff standpoint. But the CCIW and the WIAC have the Isthmus Bowl. I'm on the committee. I think it's a great deal for teams to get in the 7th game. The last 2 years has been Washington University playing River Falls. And it's our goal to play the 11th game. And if we get into the Isthmus Bowl, you know, Mike Saul runs it, does a phenomenal job. And if we can get there, I guarantee Sun First Stadium is going to be packed full of orange and blue and Pioneer fans getting after it, because that would be a huge accomplishment for us.
Yeah.
Looking at where we came from only three short seasons ago, we're at now, playing the 11th game in the season would be a great send off to our seniors. And a great jumping point for the offseason for all classes. Mm-hmm.
That's exciting. And so with the where does the Isthmus Bowl take place again? Where does the Isthmus Bowl take place?
It's in Madison, in Sun Prairie.
Sun Prairie. Okay, all right. That's what you said. Okay, it's neat.
Sun Prairie. Yeah, so they play at the new Sun Prairie Stadium. And the city of Sun Prairie does a phenomenal job with it. They do a great job with the game day management and everything. Mike Shaw is the founder and innovator of the Isthmus Bowl, and I couldn't say better things about him and his family and how he sets this bowl up to give an experience for Division III athletics is absolutely amazing.
Yeah, oh, that sure is. That's neat. And like I said, it's just neat that there's a great college football tradition throughout the region that goes much further beyond you know, the Big Ten or the Division I teams. There's so many great programs we have here throughout, and it's great to have one here that's right in our own university city here, you know, our home team. It's a lot of fun to be a part of it, especially since our high schools have struggled in recent years, and so that's terrific. Speaking of high schools, how's recruiting been going, for if I can ask that?
Going well. It's going well. We've had a bunch of really talented young men show up to game day visits. We'll have our official visits starting in December, but it's going well. There's a lot of interest from top players around the state and in Illinois and heck, around the country. Of guys that reach out to us. You know, we have the ability to be a little bit more selective. We have a great vetting process when it comes to our recruits to make sure that we're getting great players. We're getting vetted young men. Quality young man with leadership characteristics and tenacity that we can certainly build programs around. And I couldn't be happier with what our staff's doing. And Coach Holly's our recruiting coordinator, has done an amazing job with getting guys in front of us so that once they see who we are and what we do, they fall in love with it. And it makes recruiting a lot easier. We got our first commitment last weekend on Saturday. Young man that we're really excited about. And can't wait to release his name to the public once he deposits and all that fun stuff.
Sure, yeah. Well, we may have to press upon you to make that announcement on one of our upcoming shows when you're ready.
Yeah, he's a Wisconsin great, on a great Wisconsin football team, so we're excited about it.
Oh, that's terrific. Can't wait to learn more about that. So, yeah, you know, I also like the fact there was a great publicity opportunity after the game that made the local news. It was the starting quarterback at Elmhurst, Trey Acosta, and a guy, I think they used to, their buddies in Pop Warner back in Arizona, I think it was. And I forget your player's name, but I thought that was a nice little reunion there.
That's basketball. Yeah, they played together since they were younger. And,
yeah,
you know, it's cool to see. So Dez's family flew in from Yuma, Arizona. And
nice.
They had the game. They took a picture together afterwards. And we see a lot of that. Players that get to see former teammates and some of that stuff. And the love after the games is great.
Yeah, good for the sport. The
camaraderie afterwards is awesome, but the competitiveness doesn't ever slip in games.
I hear you. Sounds good. Well, more on this and some more city news with Coach Mike Budiszewski's Carroll when This Week in Waukesha continues. Don't go away.
A great football matchup brewing as Carroll University welcomes Wheaton College to Schneider Stadium this Saturday, October 21st. The Pioneers, 4-1, Thunder, 5-1, rank 13th in the country and 2nd in the CCIW. You can catch all of the action live with Don, Johnny, and Triple G. Pregame at 12:30, kickoff at 1 p.m. It's the Pios and the Thunder this Saturday afternoon on the Shaw WAUK 540 AM, 101.1 FM, and the Civic Media app.
Why are interscholastic sports called the last classroom of the day? Because they teach students important life lessons like teamwork, accountability, and perseverance. School sports are so much more than a game. They're about developing the whole person. That's why they're an essential part of every student's education.
Encourage your student to participate in the last classroom of the day. Interscholastic sports in Wisconsin. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
If you love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba,
please be done.
Over and over and over and over and over. Then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're correctly buckled in the back seat.
Sounds good, honey.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Daytime highs approaching 57 this afternoon under cloudy skies with a chance for scattered rain showers. Winds out of the east, 8 to 15 miles an hour. Slight chance for scattered rain showers again tonight. Lows dip down to about 34, mainly clear skies. High temperatures reach up to 53. Tomorrow, mainly sunny skies. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 43 degrees.
Your home for the Devil's Advocates. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6. On The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
Yeah.
welcome back. This week in Watch Shot for the final segment, and that is the Carol fight song by the Carol Marching Band. A good way to end the show, get you fired up for the game, which will take place. Well, pregame on Walk Radio is 3.5 hours from this time here, this moment in time when this this show airs. And but of course, Coach Buddha has a few more days left to get his men ready, his gladiators ready. Any secret sauce you can share, or any in these next couple of days to get the fellas pumped up?
Oh, it's going to be a great day. Our guys are going to be excited to play a top tier team, and hopefully we can play to the best of our abilities and come out with a victory. I think it'd be great. I think there's a lot of positives to build on from the last few weeks, and we're gonna take it to them. So it's gonna be a great game. Might end up being a shootout, who knows? But it's gonna be fun.
Sounds good. And again, we'll be airing the game on the radio. So if you can't make the game or there's no seats left, you can download the Civic Media app on your phone and catch the game. And I mentioned this too because the Waukesha Police Department has their Painting Pumpkins with Police event that'll take place from 1 to 3 on today, Saturday, at Frame Park. So while your young ones are enjoying painting pumpkins, you can paint pumpkins too, but you can also catch the Pios doing battle against the Thunder of Wheaton. A battle of orange and blue. It'll feel like an inter-squad scrimmage, huh, Coach, with the matching colors?
Luckily, they have to wear their white jerseys. So
that's it.
Yeah, the orange-on-orange battle is going to be a fun one.
That sounds great. So, hey, go back to Chief Steve Howard, who was awarded the Wisconsin's 2023 First Responder of the Year. His next-door neighbor growing up was Alfred M. Gorham, who was the only Tuskegee Airman from Wisconsin and a Waukesha native. So that's a great great accolade for Steve, and, of course, being First Responder of the Year. And, we'll have to get some of those firemen out to cheer you guys out. See, you'll be putting on a blaze of your own, right?
Absolutely.
So, terrific. So, real quick, more quick news is City Drop-Off Center is accepting leaves free of charge for Waukesha residents from October 18th through December 9th. That's Mondays from 1 to 6, from the 23rd through November 20th, leaves only. And then on Wednesdays from 11 to 7, from the 28th of October through November 29th. And then Saturdays from 8 to 4, but you better get there early so you don't miss the Pios. So they got a couple games left. So, terrific. So, yeah, so, great. Obviously, a good start as you pass the halfway point, at 4-2. And obviously, I'm sure you'd love to be 8-2. So, but what are some more, I'm trying to think, more surprises we can look for in the game?
I think it's going to be a balanced attack on both offenses. They obviously have a very talented running back, so do we. Their quarterback's efficient and can complete passes in all levels, so do we. They've got pretty talented receivers, so do we. They've got a good O-line. I'm biased. I think ours is a little bit better. You're going to see a lot of similarities with how we're going to attack each other. I mean, both defenses like to fly around and create turnovers. And, when you look at matchups, this is going to be a pretty evenly matched game. And I said before, it's going to be who makes the most mistakes. We're working our butts off to make sure that team that makes the least amount of mistakes is us.
Yeah. I caught the film of the Augustana game against Wheaton, which was a week before they hosted you guys at their place. And, knowing how evenly matched you were and how they, if not for a couple of plays, they might have come out on top there, that I really like your chances. And experience also has to be on your side since you've only lost 4, players from last year's team. So I think that has to bode well. I don't know what their turnover was like at Wheaton's, but again, I think you got to feel pretty good about it, especially having them here at your own house.
Right. Schneider Stadium creates an environment that is tough to come play in. So we have that advantage, and getting a couple of guys back that have been injured over the last few weeks is going to be
sure.
It's going to be a great day. Pack aside 1 p.m. Saturday and
Schneid.
After Schneid, baby. Our guys couldn't be more excited to face a challenge like this, and that's what it's going to be. It's going to be challenging, so we're looking forward to it, and can't wait to feel the energy Saturday. Block sure. We kick off if you're kick off a turn in the first play.
Yeah. Oh yeah, that's got to be terrific. So, tell us real quick, what is your Saturday morning like on game day when you have a 1 o'clock start? Like how early are the guys have to be at breakfast?
Yeah, we do a pregame meal 4 hours before every game.
Okay.
So we'll start our pregame meal at 9, and then we have an awesome tradition. We call it the walk.
Sure.
We should actually probably call it the walk, WAUK, and have you guys sponsor it.
Yeah, so. There you go.
We eat in our main dining hall, and then we have the drum line from the band.
That's
the
cool.
Band leads us down East Avenue through the tailgate out onto the field. It's okay. Really cool. You know, you get the drum cadence going, and we line up 2x2, and the entire team walks all the way down East Avenue through the tailgate. So there's hundreds of people there tailgating and cheering us on, and then we walk out in the field to break it down. And we have recruits that are up in the mezzanine that get to see that action. It really provides a really awesome environment. So anybody that wants to come down 10 o'clock, we start the walk.
Okay.
Out of the tailgate, stop on Barstow and watch it. And, it's a pretty cool deal and just creates a big time football environment.
Yeah.
And so we do that 3 hours before kickoff, and we address the recruits, talk to them a little bit, and then get ready to go. So for me, my day starts whenever my daughters decide to come in, wake me up, and then I get to hang out with them for a little bit, have some
breakfast,
a cup of coffee, and get ready to roll.
That's terrific. I love that. So, well, Coach, 1 minute left. Any final comments about cheering on Pio Nation and Waukesha for the big game?
Well, we appreciate everybody's support. Our stadium doesn't get packed just by students alone and parents. We get a great support from this community of Waukesha, and we thank every one of you guys. Don, I can't thank you enough for the coverage.
Likewise.
Of our team and everything you've done to promote what we're doing here, because I believe what we're doing is very special. And thank you guys very much for your support. Come on out Saturday, 1 o'clock, Packer Schneid, and Carroll Pioneers versus Wheaton. It's going to be a great day.
Sounds great. Coach Mike Budashevsky, Coach Buda, thank you again for joining us, and best of luck today. Go Pios. And thanks, everyone, for joining us today. Remember, safety is everyone's responsibility. And
see ya.
Nice.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow. Wisconsin's home for daily conversations about the state's latest headlines and stories. Weekday mornings from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. You're listening to The Shaw. WAUK 540 AM Jackson. W266 DR Waukesha. And always streaming on the Civic Media app. Mino and the Mayor.
The Magic Man, Don Majkowski.
I met you one time. You won't remember this because you met a million people, but I met you at an airport.
Oh, yeah. You remember that match?
I remember. Yeah.
Yeah, you were the guy at the airport. Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Now, I'm sure you never met anyone.
I
just was telling Johnny yesterday when I heard you were coming on, you were so nice to me. And I just introduced myself. Hey, I'm from Green Bay. And you're one of the good guys.
Weekday mornings from 6 until 8 on the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, and Oshkosh Air Support, WI. The Todd Alba Show.
What makes our society great is that we can believe in something bigger than ourselves.
Doesn't matter whether it's a soccer team or whether it's a political movement or whether it's a public school, whether it's a neighborhood PTA, a bake sale. It's about interacting with our friends and neighbors and making our communities better for having come together around a common cause.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekday afternoons from 1 till 3 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Mino and the Mayor.